back again for Behind the Beard, WNC. The next iteration is upon us. A time when a group of friends get together around a table in somebody's family room out in the Swannanoa area, and we just sit here and stare at family pictures and talk about high school sports. Most of the time it's high school football, but it can go off the rails. It just did at any time. And it's great. We have a good time doing it, and we're knee-deep in football season. Lots going on this week, obviously, with high school football hitting the conference schedules, and it was quite a weekend of college football. We had some pro stuff going on. Did anybody see the beatdown that James Madison University gave the Tar Heels, who paid them to go?
Do we have to open up with this?
Yes. It looks that way.
Oh, oh. I was very close. I attempted to remove myself from this podcast until Carolina ends their football program because of what we did with Lewis. It's only fair. But I was outvoted. I was outruled, and your boy is back. But that was we can move on to the next subject. So NC State played Clemson.
NC State and the Dolphins have made me a pedestrian fan. I no longer want to build my days around watching these games. God, they're both so terrible. I would just prefer not to watch them at all.
I think that I'm going to adopt the Tennessee Volunteers.
Oh, please don't.
Oh, my gosh.
I think I am.
That's such an awful color of orange.
Carson's definitely a bandwagon guy.
I mean, just if Saban was still there, you know, I could. Derek wears Alabama gear every single week. You know, I just don't know if they're going to be the same without him. So I'm going to hop on Tennessee while the stock is still.
Tennessee's looking pretty strong.
It's felt like 98 in Knoxville like 10 times in the last 20 years. We'll see if this year's any different.
Will they tear down the goalposts this year?
See, you and Chris St. Ange will be able to sit there and cuddle and talk about Tennessee Volunteer football.
Yeah, Chris St. Ange, Todd Griffin, and me, we just plan on...
Don't forget Chad Presley.
Yeah, you got Chad Presley. Yeah.
There's a few Tennessee fans, and they're more and more coming. I'm a new one as of one day ago.
Yeah, it's funny. The better they get, the more you see them.
Oh, for sure.
Funny how that works.
Well, yeah. Man. No.
So what else? What other fun stuff was going on this weekend, gentlemen?
Well, we might want to mention we're missing a Florida State won.
Florida State did win.
But Lewis still did not show up.
That's because Lewis used this whole idea as an excuse to just plan a trip to Vegas and just say he was not going to be able to be on the podcast. Yeah. So he set himself up there. Yeah. I think.
Lewis is, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas except for all of the pictures he sends us.
We have been getting pictures already.
We have.
He is there at a, it looks like he is doing work there. So we miss Lewis again. Contrary to many listeners, Lewis was not banned from the podcast.
That's funny. I got asked by a couple of people. That was true.
I got asked by a few. And then I think he said it was also a big topic in the Valley. But no, they did not. Tallahassee did not get Tallahassee'd. Florida State is on the board with their first win. So congrats.
Top 25, I guarantee it. When the polls come out, top 25.
Yep. So.
But there were some good games. Exciting stuff this weekend. NFL games, they were all close.
They really were.
Yeah.
You know who's impressing me? Is the Steelers with Justin Fields, 3-0.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he is a superior quarterback. I don't know. What team would get rid of him?
I don't know. But the Steelers, you know, it must be, like, nice to just be a fan of a team that you can just, like, just count on them winning games. I've not had that luxury.
No, me either.
I haven't since the early 90s.
Yeah.
Who's your team?
The Washington Redskins.
You mean the Commanders?
Oh, we're going to have to cut that.
Why?
Not allowed to say the R
word. You're not allowed to say Redskin.
Says who?
Just
kidding. Now, do you all know the story about why the Redskins got their name, the moniker, the Redskins?
Why did they
It's actually a term of endearment. It's not intended to be the way it was portrayed when the Redskins were founded in whatever it was, the late 1800s. Their first head coach was a Cherokee Indian, and the team was named to honor him. And so that was the whole idea. So
the woke left disagrees. It hurt someone's feelings, and now they're the Commanders.
Well,
Commanders. Mm. So I know you guys remember last year We had a segment we would do sometime called Mike's Soapbox.
Oh, yeah. Are you getting back on it?
How do you feel about me bringing back the soapbox this week?
It depends on what the topic is,
Mike. I was told that Mike had a soapbox last week.
Did I?
The official soapbox.
It was a barrel, and he was scraping the bottom of it.
Yes.
That was a month ago.
It was brought to my attention that the Mike soapbox segment was back, just without the title. So I'm excited to hear what we have today, Mike.
So I got one that I feel pretty passionate about. That
oh, no.
Just want to share with you. Listen, if you're going to sit in the stands and your kid's going to be playing, don't be yelling at the coaches on the sideline. How freaking stupid is that? You're going to yell at them and cuss at them? That's the biggest form of jackassery I think I've ever heard. Chasing coaches down, yelling at them, screaming at them. Give me a break, guys. Give me a break. I heard this happening at some games around town, and I just want to tell you that that's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, and you know, it's one thing to like question some, you know, coaches, like as far as their, you know, decision makings on a podcast, like off air. But when you're showing up to people, like when they're at their work,
right?
I guess my thing is like, how many people do you guys have at your jobs? That you mentioned like the interviews during the games, but how many people do you have at your jobs just like constantly just breathing down your neck besides your boss,
right,
about how much you suck? And
I do.
Yeah.
And you know who it is? Mike Anderson.
Oh gosh. But I'm serious. I just think that's absolutely ridiculous. These guys and gals are out there coaching your kids. They're doing the best they can. Now, do I agree with every decision they make? No. None of us around this table do. And I may sit there to Derek and say, I can't believe this coach did this. But I'm not going to yell at him and call him names and cuss and yell and act like a crazy person.
Yeah. It just goes back to that, you know, anybody can coach on Friday night. But it's like, if you really feel that passionate about it, it's like, sign up and go. I mean, Derek, how many hours goes into being a high school football coach?
Yeah, it was a challenge for sure. And, you know, I've had people yell at me, and, you know, I don't care. Like, you try and tune it out as much as you possibly can. But when your wife is telling you, hey, these people are cussing you out, like in the stands, or even, you know, when you're walking back to your car and, you know, they're giving you the business, and you're just like, man, shut your mouth, like go home. You know, if that's your MO, you need to check yourself for sure.
Yeah. And I think
that's the other thing is family. So most of these guys have a family, and most of them come to the games and watch.
And I'd say most coaches, like Derek said, most coaches, like you just automatically tune majority of it out, but it's when the families get affected. And then also, you know, we've got these coaches, like, you know, we'll mess around about some coaches making poor decisions, how Max Guest should get a lot more carries. You know, we will do that, but none of us are questioning that. Like, I think all of us think that they're probably doing what they think is what's best for them to try and win. I don't think any of these coaches are trying to lose the game.
Yeah, 100%. And none of us are at practice Monday through Friday. None of us know what's going on in the school building Monday through Friday. And so it's, you know, to sit here and question them as far as, you know, what they do on Friday night, it's a culmination of a week's worth of planning that goes into a Friday night. Are they going to make bad decisions? Do I have decisions that I made that I want back? Yeah, anybody's going to. But to question whether or not they have your son's best interest or your daughter's best interest at heart is asinine at the least.
The other piece of it is they can coach you, the kids, the best they can, but the kids still have to perform on Friday night.
Yeah.
They still have to execute. And sometimes these young men are not always capable of executing. And you may think that's a coaching problem, but sometimes it's a kid problem.
And when you're getting that noise that you're talking about, when you're getting that noise at home Monday through Friday saying, oh, yeah, your coach is an idiot, you know, he's stupid and this and that, are they going to listen to that coaching to try and make them the most successful football player, softball player, whatever it is? Are they going to listen to the coach? Probably not, because they're hearing mommy and daddy at home just bad-mouthing them for, you know, the 6 hours that they're home every night. So,
let's be honest. If you're in Western North Carolina and your kid plays at Reynolds, I mean, you have one of the best coaches ever coach in Western North Carolina. You know, If you're at Asheville, you got Corey Radford. That guy, he's a young up and comer. There are a lot of schools that would love to have Corey Radford. If you're, you know, if you're at Irwin, Rodney Pruitt, he does a great job out there.
Yeah.
There's no reason to be yelling. If you want to talk to your coach, man up and make an appointment and talk to him on Monday morning, Monday afternoon. Don't yell at him from the stands. That's my soapbox this week.
It's a good one.
Love Indeed. It. Love it.
Sorry. None of these guys knew that was coming. So
it somebody you personally knew that you observed doing this? Is that what caused
this? I did not observe anybody. I just heard some reports of it happening. Not this past week, but the week before.
Was it a loud guy up in the press box at R.L. Dalton Stadium?
It was not.
Big guy?
It was not.
Oh, good. I'm off the hook.
Yeah. Wasn't you, Pat? So today I was looking through the high school overtime top 20 statewide poll, guys. And I happened to pull this Inca, number 13 at 12-0, Asheville 17 at 10-1-1, and Reynolds at 19, 10-1. Oh, wait. That's the soccer poll, guys. How about some soccer in Western North Carolina? Are Inca number 13 with no losses?
Yeah, and I think didn't Inca just beat Reynolds or tie them or something? It
would have had to have been a win because they don't have a tie.
Yeah, so.
Asheville, only one loss, one tie. Reynolds, one loss, one tie. You talk about some fantastic soccer going on.
Yeah, I think it's official. Inca is a soccer school.
It does appear that way.
Yeah, soccer. Confirmed.
And wrestling.
And wrestling. Yeah.
And softball.
But, you know, that brings up an interesting point that we can kind of discuss is in North Carolina, soccer, men's soccer is a fall sport. In South Carolina and Georgia, it is a spring sport. How many of those good athletes that are playing for Inca or playing for Reynolds or playing for these other schools that make them so good, how many of those guys could be football players?
So right now we're doing men's soccer.
Right.
What women's sport is going on right now that you wouldn't want to do women's soccer? Volleyball.
We got volleyball going on right now.
That's the big one.
But I think I want to say that in those states that women's soccer is also a spring sport. I may be wrong.
They just do them together.
I think they do them together, but I may be wrong on that. Somebody will fact check me and say that.
I guess we do it separate, so I guess they can use the same coach, same facilities. I guess facilities. Probably. If you try, yeah, I guess facilities could be an issue.
Facilities definitely. Logistics, coaches, probably all plays into it.
Yeah. I just saw that today. I just want to bring it up. I know we don't talk soccer, but we got some good soccer in this area.
Yep.
So.
Indeed. And a couple of those soccer players have been kickers for Reynolds before. And that one kicker a couple of years ago with that unbelievable game winner against Chambers in the playoffs.
Yeah. And those guys, they don't practice. If you play soccer, you just show up on Thursday and, you know, kick a few balls for walkthrough and then go on.
Ready to go.
And then here we go, boys. Strap it on.
I love that. Yeah. Game coming down to that. We just talked about how important it was to practice through the week.
Yes. Man,
the game comes down on Friday night. It's like, this guy, is it high school soccer games? 90 minutes?
I think they're 80.
80, okay.
But we had a kid that kicked a game winner. I still don't think that he knew what was going on. We were down at South Point. You know, we didn't deserve to win. Well, we did deserve. We played our tails off, but we drive down the field, get a big kickoff return, and set up a game-winning field goal. I don't think that the kid knew what was going on. He just walked out there, cool as a cucumber, and just kicked it through the uprights, and everybody freaked out. He's like, "Whoa, hey, all right,
that's awesome.
Good for me, yeah. I guess."
That's what he does.
But that's what you want, you know. You don't want him to have a clue about how big the kick is,
right?
Mm-hmm. No, Coach Law said as much. You don't coach kickers.
You don't coach the kickers. Well, evidently, you don't coach the guys doing the pick'ems either because, guys, I've hit a cold streak. Real cold.
Yeah.
Real cold. Derek and Lewis led the way again this week. They both went 6-3.
Yeah, that needs to stop right now.
They're both 27-19.
Actually, I don't mind if Derek goes 6-3, but Lewis, I do mind.
I think I have a one-game lead on Lewis.
I think
we're going to have to check that, but...
Yes, I believe you do have a one-game lead.
I think I've got a one-game lead on him.
So then Carson and Pat both went 4-5 this week. I went 2-7. Still in third place at 23-22.
Yeah,
Pat's in fourth at 22-23. Carson, you're 19-27.
There's going to have to be some dramatic changes.
That's also the year Pat was born, 1927.
It was. Antique. The Roaring 20s. So...
Mm, 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 mm.
And unfortunately, we just pick so many similar games that it's like it's you can't, you're not making up eight games in a week.
No,
you're just not going to do it.
Well, Carson, I lost four games this week. It would only take me two.
Yep.
Terrible.
Well, we always got this week, Mike. How do you feel?
I'm feeling good about this. I'm not feeling great about this week. I'm not feeling great at all. This was a tough week with the spreads and the games. You know what? Before we get into next week, let's talk about last week. So we'll start at the top, or I like to start at the bottom of the pick sheet if you're looking at it. I just work my way up. So we had North Henderson at West Henderson. West was a 21.5-point favorite, and they do win the game 20-13, but North covers. What does it you say about teams that cover?
Good teams win, great teams cover. So North Henderson was a great team last week, although West did get the victory. I just did not anticipate North holding them to 22 points.
West's offense, definitely not what it was last year.
No.
For no stats on this game other than defensive stats, North Henderson, Vance Lockamy and Ty Stepp both had 18 tackles apiece. So 20-13 win for West. I just want to tell you, visiting teams this last week, they went 5-4. So not a lot of home field advantage last week.
Nope, not in the spreads.
Well, this was just overall wins.
Oh,
no
overall
spreads
wins.
Include, yeah. Visiting teams won 5 and lost 4 in our picks. So next up, McDowell. They traveled over to Arden to take on TC. TC wins handily 60-26.
But
the spread was 49.5. So McDowell covers.
Yeah, it was.
Carson, Lewis, and Derek got it right. By the way, Lewis, only one who picked North last week. The McDowell game, Carson, Lewis, Derek get it right. So McDowell led by Danny Brown. He was 8 of 17 for 75 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also rushed it for 84 yards. TC has scored 40 points plus in their last three, and Zeb Swingham led the way. He rushed it 70 times for 87 yards and a touchdown. So TC's offense heating up.
They're clicking. You know,
indeed.
They got shut out week one and then, you know, putting up 40 a week.
Yep. Indeed. So next up, Irwin at Inca. This was a close one throughout. Not really. Irwin wins 55-14. Spread 39.5. So Irwin does win and gets the and covers. Pat Lewis, Mike, Derek all got this one correct. Who got it? Oh, Carson got this one wrong.
That's what I get for taking Inca. I was hoping for more than this.
It was close.
There was a chance in the third quarter. I was like, you know what? Like, if there's a slight chance we could cover, and then Irwin just kept pouring it on. I was hoping Inca would get to 21 points and not obviously give up 55. So I did get that pick wrong.
Caden Engel led the way for Irwin. He was 18. Listen to this stat line, guys. Caden Engel, 18 of 25, 419 yards and 5 touchdowns. He also rushed it 6 times for 86 yards. I read in the Sissa Times he scored another 2 touchdowns. That was not on Max Preps. So he was either responsible for 5 or 7 touchdowns.
Have a day.
Lawson Reynolds had 7 catches for 170 yards, and Michael Petty had 4 catches for 107. They've scored over 50 three times this year, Irwin has. Over 50 three times.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, going in knew that the lefty could sling it, that the Engel kid could sling it. But I don't think anyone anticipated them to be this high-powered.
They've got some guys that can go. And, you know, we had heard that Milky Ray could have got injured. He had no stats posted in this last game. And so, you know, that could have been, you know, maybe they weren't going to be able to do it without him because he had the huge game against Brevard, I believe.
Yes.
But obviously, they've got a plethora of options for weapons.
Yeah.
So, Irwin continues rolling. What a game by Caden Engel.
I really want to see Irwin play. Hopefully, the weather cooperates and we get to Caden Engel. I mean, they must have some nice protection for him to throw that many yards.
For sure.
Coach Pruitt talked about that offensive line. We talked to him before the season started.
Yeah, so Irwin gets the win. I tell you what, the MAC's shaping up to be tough. We'll get into that in just a second. So next up we have the Greenies of Christ School travel down to Providence Day. Providence Day, the favorite, giving 40.5 to the Greenies. Greenies not able to cover as Providence Day wins 55-7. Cray School's given up 36-plus in the last four games. Providence Day was led by quarterback Zade Lott. He was 18 of 26 for 298, three touchdowns. Running back Ian Klein had 16 carries for 148 yards and two TDs. And Cairo Skanes, familiar name to Rocket Nation, led the way on defense. He had eight tackles, two interceptions, and one was a pick six. So he looked nice.
Yeah, definitely sounds like he had a good game.
Indeed. So, everyone got that right by me. So that was Carson, Pat, Lewis, Derek.
Just got to hope that Cry School gets it figured out and keeps things from snowballing on them. I think the schedule gets a little bit easier for them from here on out.
Yeah. So they've got the two big donkeys in their conference play that they have to play every year out of the way.
Yeah.
Three of the next four are much easier. We'll see how it goes. So next up, we had Drawn at Owen. Owen getting 29.5, able to cover. Drawn wins the game 28-3. Owen only scored nine total points in their last three games. Pat, Lewis, and Derek got this one correct. So,
Owen 2-0, their last two against the spread. They've covered. I mean, some would say that's a heater.
Some would say that.
So, yeah. It seems like their defense is playing decent. Offense not doing much.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're playing both ways.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm sure that plays into it. But it does appear they kicked a field goal. And
2 weeks in a row?
2 weeks in a row. No, they did not.
They lost 3-0.
If they would have kicked a field goal, they could still be playing.
Maybe
in
so.
Flat Rock.
You know, some would say that game would probably still be going on right now.
Definitely could.
3-3.
Definitely could be.
That might have came down to a coin toss.
You know, though, they're eating that elephant a bite at a time. They're getting back. They're doing
it. Oh, definitely. Right. Definitely.
So, next up, Pisgah traveled to Smoky Mountain. Smoky was getting 10.5, and they were able to cover as Pisgah only wins 31-21. That half point, come on, man.
That's a gut punch, man. That's a gut punch.
For Lewis, too, as we'll learn later.
None of us got this correct.
No.
None of us. Quarterback Aaron Clark led the way for Pisgah. He was 16 of 21 for 191 and a touchdown. He also rushed it 17 times for 99 yards. They had 400 yards of offense, and Aaron Clark accounted for 290 of those yards. Landon Pope also had a good game, 20 carries, 95 yards, and a touchdown. So Pisgah seems to be rolling. Mountain 7, Matt, both going to be tight. I think there's some exciting games to be played.
Oh, yeah.
Very competitive games. Sure. On the future schedule.
Deep leagues for the first time in a long time.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think any, I mean, Reynolds obviously could, and until someone beats them, prove me otherwise. Right. But last year, West was undefeated. I don't know. Do you think a team goes undefeated in the Mountain 7 this year?
You know, I don't. I think that
you don't think Franklin does?
I do not. I do not see that happening. But
I think there's going to be too many competitive games.
I agree.
They're just the ball bounces one way. Someone has a big game. I'm with you, Derek. I don't know if anybody in the Mountain 7 goes undefeated in conference this year.
So does anyone go undefeated in the MAC?
Yes.
Yes.
Pat jumped all over that one. Well, next up we had a private school game. The Mountain View Prep Stars from Spartanburg came down to take on Asheville School.
We should not have mocked them, gentlemen. We should not have mocked them.
Thank God we don't have any clips on the soundboard ready.
You
to
know,
go.
We always will say, like, we have some hot takes and we've been the crazy podcast, but we do show up the next week and we do take some accountability. Ugh. We were wrong about the Lewis JBL All Stars. Yeah. And if I would have known some information that I knew before the game,
shouldn't you have done some research?
Yeah, I should have done some research.
Homework would have been good there.
But it appears Mountain View Prep Stars has the number one running back in the state of South Carolina. And
who's he being recruited by?
I looked him up on Twitter on Tuesday, and he's followed by the head coach of Alabama. And I'm like, oh my God, we're in for a rude awakening on Friday. So I texted in the group. I said, boys, I think we got one wrong.
We did not do our homework.
So if this is a prep all-star type team, is it associated with a high school of some sort?
It's a charter school. It's a first-year charter school.
Okay.
First year
that
they've
ever
had football.
Playing public, a public schedule in South Carolina.
It looks that way. They played like Pickens and some other schools that are relative to the upstate.
So Asheville School picks up their first loss as the Mountain View Prep Stars win 42-21. If he makes it feel makes you feel any better, they did have teal uniforms. They did look like a travel
team. They did.
The name for me. I mean,
you do realize that the abbreviation is MVPs, Mountain View Prep Stars MVPs.
Yeah,
they're the MVPs.
Yeah,
nice. Bless them.
That's still a lame name. They're good. They appears to be good at football, but lame name.
So Tolbert led the way for Asheville School. He was 14 of 34 for 176, two touchdowns, an interception, and a fumble. Mountain View Prep Stars have scored 42-plus in all their five wins. They definitely put the offense in. They win 42-21. None of us got this one correct because we were all sure. But listen, we weren't the worst. You know, we talk about the Simmons ratings that we look at. They were choosing Asheville School as a 60-point favorite.
Whoa. Wow.
Yep.
So interesting.
So it appears his statistics and ratings probably are a little bit more accurate in North Carolina.
In-state, much better. So a little bit of a surprise in this next one. Dobbins Bennett from Kingsport came over to play Asheville. Asheville was getting 17.5. Dobbins Bennett, the favorite. Asheville wins, guys, 21-14.
Good for them.
This is Asheville's 700th win as a program. And Carson Lewis and Derek got this one correct.
And this was one of those games that we had circled as like, you know, one of those like early indicators where, you know, Asheville High hadn't played, not exactly sure exactly what they, you know, they dominated Tuscola week one, had the game get weathered out against Providence Day. You know, what exactly does Asheville
have? Why didn't they play on Saturday or something? Why didn't they want to make that one up?
Because when you're down there with the weather, it's a long trek back.
That's 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm just...
Anyway, go ahead.
I'm just saying.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
But no, you're good. But, Asheville getting the win here, I think this... Irwin's been on everybody's radar. Yeah. I think this puts Asheville where it's like, okay, they've got a... They're much improved from last year. That's obvious.
I can't disagree with you there.
And so it's like, wow, Asheville... It's like you guys said, there's now a few teams in the MAC. Those games are going to be, it looks like we could have some really competitive football games here coming up.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely a signature win for Asheville. I think, you know, that may, it's up there for probably the best win in the MAC this year. You know, obviously you got Reynolds and beating Shelby. You got Irwin beating Brevard. There's some good teams out there.
It's funny you mentioned Shelby. Did you see their score from this week?
Oh, yeah. I saw they played Turville.
70-0.
Ooh.
70. So just think about this. Shelby beats them 70-0. How many did Reynolds beat them by? What, 30?
Yeah.
So that team is 100 points
worse than Reynolds.
Worse than Reynolds. Thank you. I couldn't spit those words out.
Wow.
Incredible.
Speaking of Reynolds,
hang on. Leading the way for Asheville, Kaim Plummer. He had 11 carries, 178 yards for two touchdowns. He also made six tackles and broke up a pass. So good game for Kaim. Yeah, next up, North Buncombe at Reynolds. North Buncombe getting 49.5 as they traveled over to Fairview. But Reynolds gets the win and covers 56-6, guys. They won by 50, so a half point. Carson, Pat, Derek, and Mike got this one correct. Reynolds led the way by Eli Hemrick. 7 of 9 for 165 and 2 TDs. Guest carried it 4 times for 71 yards and 2 TDs. And he had a kickoff return for a TD. So... Pat?
Well, this was a very good game. Obviously, there were some...
Very good game.
I'll paint the picture, honestly.
Go ahead.
I think there was obviously some tension going into this game. Some questions in the community, obviously, were I think, out there. And Reynolds, I think, came out maybe even just a little bit, nervous about it because early in the game
it was 7-0 after the first quarter.
It was a little bit of a slow, sluggish start, and North Buncombe was actually able to move the ball a little bit. They moved the sticks and were able to run it, and then they settled in, they got their touchdown, and then they were able to settle in. The defense started clicking, and obviously the offensive picture would have been much, much, much worse. There were so many weird, I'm going to call them weird penalties, that called back two or three touchdowns that went for a long way. It easily could have been a running clock in the first half had that not all been going on. So, you know, would you say Max had four carries and two touchdowns? Is that what you're supposed to kickoff return?
Plus a kickoff return per touchdown.
He had, you know, more carries than that, but the penalty situation that came up. And
kept calling him back.
Yeah.
That was my question was, you know, Max still only four carries. Obviously, they didn't need him. They scored 55 points. Still not getting a lot of carries, but you're saying he had more. They just got called back.
Yeah, and then once you get that running clock going, well, let's put it this way.
You got to get everybody else in there.
You give him the ball, and it's just gone, and he's in for the touchdown, and it's over. And
what a problem.
I think Chris and I were in the booth. We were trying to figure it out. We don't think Reynolds even – they may have punted once. I don't even know if they punted once in the first half. And it was just, you know – they were clicking. Once they settled down a little bit and got the nerves out and, you know, answered their questions in their head, they were, you know, they were firing.
Yeah, and the gap between the skill players at all five skill positions at Reynolds versus the gap of versus the type of player that North Buncombe has is astronomical. So any skill player touches the ball for Reynolds, they're going to house it. You know, you're not putting 12 house play drives ball together against North Buncombe. No.
But I would like to, for the Pisgah – all the Pisgah people out there, you know, look and see what Reynolds did. That's how you cover. That's how you cover.
The Mountain Seven in general struggles to cover. I don't know why.
Yeah. So, but no, Reynolds, I mean, Reynolds is back.
Reynolds is back, right? They beat North Buncombe. They're back.
I mean, all's right in Fairview.
I think, well,
everybody's, nobody's mad. Nobody's yelling. Everybody's good. They won 55-7.
I mean, I saw some I told you so's. I mean, this is.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't forget, they're not going to forget who the critics were.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're not going to forget who the critics were. At the same time, I can promise you, I don't think those coaches are going to let up one bit on those guys. No, they've still got work to do on both sides of the ball. And I think they're still sorting out who needs to be where and do what. And
how did the North Buncombe running back look?
Well, as like I said in the beginning, they were able to move the sticks pretty well. Problem is, they were pretty one dimensional.
I don't think they believe in the forward pass.
No, did they try one and it was an interception?
And a pick six at that.
It gets
easy for a defense if you know you're going to be one dimensional. But early on, that guy would run right off the right guard, and he got through some decent holes.
I do know that he's had some success early in the season. He's had some big games so far, and they believe that he will be, you know, next Joe Jones type running back at North Buncombe.
Joe Jones was a nice running back.
Yeah, he was. Very good. So. Unfortunately, it's like you said, when you get one dimensional against a team that's, you know, it's going to be tough.
It's tough anytime you're out athleted onto the field. I know that's not a real word, but
oh no, it's a word.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
almost at every position.
Yeah,
now
at every position. Okay, Derek's been in the trenches before. At every position,
I will say this: that I was sweating it at the end of the game, and you know, Coach Laws could give two rats patooties about anything I would think about on the spread, but you know, Reynolds gets that pick six, and they go up. What was it, 56-0 at that point? So you think, oh, they got this thing locked in.
Did they pull the starters?
Yeah, they got all the starters out of there. So it's the second stringer, and then North Buncombe's able to. They're able to start moving it down the field.
When North Buncombe scored the touchdown, because I was with you, when I saw 56-6, all I could think about was the spread, and I was like, dear God, have they kicked the extra point yet?
They didn't. They went for two.
And then Pat said they went for two. And I was like, dude, both coaching staffs helping us.
I'm so glad that this podcast did not exist whenever I was a first year play caller. We were playing North Henderson and up 56-0 in the fourth quarter with 30 seconds, like 30, 40 seconds ago, maybe a few minutes. I don't remember the exact timing, but we hadn't let anyone score in the whole conference all year up to this point. Okay. We're up big. Every backup is in. Our third string quarterback is in. And North Henderson's just hairs back, ears back. They're just coming downhill. They're going to stop the run. So I look over and I say, all right, I'm going to throw a little screen, just a little swing pass to the tailback and you know, just to get them outside of the number, so we're not dying trying to run into the teeth of this defense. Throws it over the kid's head, scoop and score, lateral. North Henderson scores 56-6. First score that we'd given up in four games in the league. And I just look around and everybody's staring at me and they're pissed.
I bet Coach Craig was really happy with you.
It was lovely. But, you know, ended up, we didn't shut the whole conference out, so it wasn't that big a deal.
So, you know, most of the teams had a conference game other than Asheville. What did we learn in week one?
You know, I think the one thing that we did learn was in that non-conference game where, you know, Asheville's going to have a say in the MAC. I mean, that, like I said before, it's probably the biggest signature win for anyone in the MAC outside of, you know, Reynolds, Irwin, Asheville. And they've proven to belong. And I think they're going to have something to say about, you know, how the MAC shakes out.
Yeah, I don't think we learned much as far as like the how the conference is going to go. We knew that Irwin, Robertson, Asheville, and Reynolds are going to be in a different league. McDowell, Inca, and North Buncombe need to play each other every week.
What about West only beating North 20-13 and Pisgah beating Smoky Mountain 31-21? Those are pretty close games. Are we thinking the Mountain 7 is the top three or four real close?
Yeah, which I think we all kind of expected. Yeah. I mean, I think we had a couple of us picked Pisgah to win that conference, but other than that, I don't think any of us were like, you know, this team's going to cakewalk through it. So I think that confirms kind of what we were thinking.
For me, I think the concern is when you look at West, they're certainly not near as dominant as they were last year. Their offense and their defense are not as good as last year. They're going to have to fight a lot harder in these closer games. Tuscola is still the wild card for me. How good's Tuscola?
Yeah, obviously they didn't look good week one.
Week one. But they've won since then.
Yes, and scored a lot of points too. Yeah. So I think they definitely have the potential to be a contender and in that top four for the top spot of the Mountain 7. You know, time will tell. But it seems like they're getting it figured out over there.
Well, they get thrown into the fire this week as they take on Franklin. So we'll know this week.
Yeah, we will.
So we have a new segment. I named it Derek's Dirty Dozen, but he's only going to give his top 10.
Yeah, only the top 10.
Only the top 10.
So we got the Dirty Dozen or the Dirty Deca Pole, one would say.
What about Pat?
What did I do?
Oh, yeah. So at number 10, we'll start from the bottom and work our way up. At number 10, I think, you know, we've talked about them a little bit before. They've got some offensive questions to answer. They're sitting at 3-2. I got West Henderson. And again, this is just the leagues that we cover. So you got the Mountain 7, you got the Foothills with the Brevard is in, the MAC, and then Owens League. I'm not sure what that league is called.
I don't remember but either, but that's okay.
That's the leagues that we're covering.
Are you saying Owens in the top 10?
No, I am not. So the Far West, the 1A schools are not included in this, but if they were included, Murphy might sneak into the bottom 10 there. At number 9, I've got Pisgah sitting there at 4-1. 8, 4-0, Franklin, you know, like I said earlier, you know, they're going to potentially have a shot to win the league, but they've not really played anybody of 3A caliber. You know, they've beat up on the 1A schools out west, and those guys are good. They're good football teams. Obviously, Murphy beat West Henderson earlier this year, but Franklin still has something to prove in my eyes. So I've got them at 8. 7, Asheville School sitting at 3-1. Obviously, they didn't have the week that they wanted to last week. But, you know, playing that better competition will get them set up. And potentially, you know, they've got a shot to beat Cry School for the first time in 13 years. Probably the best shot that they'll ever have this year. So things are lining up for them. Number 6, just outside the top 5, is going to be Brevard at 3-2. They had a really good close loss on the road at Knoxville Catholic. And they're the cream of the crop. They beat Pisgah pretty bad week one, and that was kind of their arrival, you know, beating them 35-0. So I got Brevard at 6. And then the margin of error between these top 5 is razor thin, boys. I struggled with it all day. But at number 5, I've got Asheville at 2-1. Obviously, they had the signature win last week, but they've still got some questions on offense for me. Can they score with the big dogs? So that's the question that I need answered from Asheville. At number 4, and this is going to ruffle some feathers in Fairview, but I've got Reynolds. Obviously, you know, Reynolds, if anybody above them plays the schedule that they've played so far, they're probably sitting there with one win against North Buncombe. But the losses have been ugly, for lack of a better word. And I think, you know, they obviously they're going to have some chances to prove themselves. They play three out of the four that are above them, or excuse me, two out of the three that are above them. So time will tell how Reynolds shakes out. Number three, I've got Roberson at 3-1. You know, they had the close loss to Watauga, and then their offense is kicking it into gear. But we'll see if they have the firepower to put it up on the MAC schools. At number two, I've got Irwin at 4-1. They seem to be the real deal outside of maybe their defense giving up some big yards. And then at number one, the consensus amongst all of us at the table, I think, is Mountain Heritage. They're the real deal. Sitting there 4-0, beat Irwin, who we all think very highly of. Probably the best win in WNC. Mountain Heritage, number one, Derek's Dirty Dozen.
I like it. I would love to see Mountain Heritage play some of these teams like, you know, TC and Reynolds, some of these bigger teams and see.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the Irwin game with them is a fantastic football game every year.
And I think Irwin had a chance to win late.
Should have won.
Not able to pull it off.
Yeah. So that's a great list, Eric. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Carson, for helping me with it. And, you know, we kind of – everybody here at the table outside of myself and Carson is kind of affiliated, so to speak. So yep. We wanted to have some kind of bias-free.
I like that you went with, like, some of, like, who had the best – when Derek was putting this together, it's like, who had the best win? Like, what was the worst – what's the worst loss? It's like, you know, these things go into it. It's like, you know, what Derek said about Mountain Heritage with Irwin, I mean, that what a game that was. But I think it says a lot about Mountain Heritage, but also says a lot about Irwin as well. Yeah. Because Irwin's win against Brevard, I mean, just an absolute, you know, what a game that was because Brevard beat Pisgah, who we all, you know, we watched him in the Jamboree. It's like, you know, Pisgah's got a decent football team.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, we talk about Irwin and how good they are. And then you go down all the way to the 10 spot, and West Henderson plays them to within a touchdown, too. So Western North Carolina football as a whole is probably the best that it's been in a few years. I mean, we're talking about four and five teams that can compete for a conference championship in the two big leagues in West North Carolina.
I think the team that I would not have expected after week one to be in that list was Roberson. But Roberson has really turned it on here of late.
They lost to Watauga early.
They lost to Watauga 14-0, but then they didn't really blow out East Rutherford. East Rutherford 10, obviously, much improved, but, you know, Robertson scored a lot on them, but East Rutherford, I think, did they get 34, 36 points against
them? It was close. So.
But then they looked bad against Robbinsville in the scrimmage at Reynolds. They didn't look like the Roberson of old that is going to compete for a conference championship. So they've obviously found something.
None of these coaches probably want to peak this early in the season. So it's, you know, being not clicking on all cylinders at the beginning of the year, probably not the worst thing if you can, you know, do the right things, push the right buttons to continue to get better to make that run.
And I think we all knew TC would have to be better later because they lost so much on offense. They lost, you know, quarterback.
A lot of experience.
You know, two or three running backs. I mean, they weren't just okay guys. They were fantastic in that system.
For sure.
So, So next, we'll let's talk about the ACT, the Asheville Citizen Times. Their top 10 came out. They also have Mount Heritage number one. They have Franklin at two, Irwin at three, Asheville at four, Brevard at five, Pisgah six, Asheville School seven, Reynolds at eight, Murphy at nine, and Mitchell at 10. I'll go ahead and say it. I don't think there's a chance in hell Asheville School beats Reynolds. Just say
not a chance in hell. No.
So. They're valuing the undefeated, and I get it, you know, but like I said before, it's who you play.
Right. The high school overtime, which is a little more – it covers a little bigger area. This is for the 828. So if your area code starts with 828, you're included in this. Hickory, number one. Listen, that's right.
Yeah, that is right.
Hickory's number one.
I don't think anybody's arguing that.
If there's no injuries, Hickory will probably be in the state championship. Watauga, number two. Mount Heritage, three. Asheville School, four. Roberson, five. So there's your top five. Asheville School may be a little high. Maybe not. I don't know. Irwin, six. Asheville, seven. Franklin, eight. Reynolds, nine. Maiden, 10. They do 15. Brevard, 11. Bunker Hill, 12. Murphy, 13. East Rutherfordton 14 and Mitchell 15. Mitchell jumps into the pole for the first time this year in the 828-15. Christ School dropped out after, you know, getting plummeted for the fourth game in a row.
So. Yeah. Asheville School's overrated in that one for sure. I don't think they're a top.
But it's like Mike said, you know, Saturday we'll be, and we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about that coming up.
So if Asheville School wins this week, they'll win out. They're not going to lose a game after this week. They're from here on, they're playing the Division II, which is
bad football.
It's bad football. But it goes back to, it's like, so all eyes are on Christ School then.
Yeah. So we'll see. So I like your list there, Derek. I do.
Well, thank you. And if you don't like it, comment on our Instagram. Send us an email.
Blame Lewis.
Let us know.
It's Lewis's fault if you don't like it.
It's definitely Lewis's fault.
Lewis tried to get Florida State in there, and we were like, dude, that's no. not yet.
I don't know that they beat Reynolds.
Oh, man. So we got some tough picks to make for this week, guys. You ready? Are you ready for week 6?
We are. Before we get to the picks, we highlighted them during their game, but player of the week, we're going to go with Kaim Plummer. And Mike, look like you touched the stats. 11 carries, 178 yards, 2 tutties, 6 tackles, 1.
He broke a pass up as well.
1 pass breakup. And so, obviously you could go. Obviously, you know, Caden Engel had a very good game. But I think when we all were talking about it, it's like Asheville played Dobbins Bennett.
Yes. Yes.
Irwin played Inca. I would expect if Irwin played Inca, I would expect someone from Irwin to have 500 yards.
The three that we kind of narrowed it down to were Aaron Clark from Pisgah, Caden Engel from Irwin, who, I mean, 419 yards.
And that would have not been a wrong. I mean,
he had over 500 yards
of
offense.
But
he was playing Inca.
And I can tell you this, Caden's got some very, very big games coming up. So he's got plenty of opportunities to become the player of the week.
For sure.
Indeed.
For sure.
So, sorry I jumped ahead there. Let's talk about week 6. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
So this week we got first game out of the bat. Owen traveling to Mitchell. Owen 0-5. They've only scored 9 points in the last 3 total. Mitchell 4-1. They're a 35-point favorite, so Owen getting 35 here. Mitchell's only loss was to private school Charlotte Latin. They're led by their quarterback, Caleb Cook. He averages 179 yards a game through the air with 9 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. As a team, they rush for 214 yards a game, led by Pittman, who rushes for 68, and he has 5 touchdowns on the year. Derek, is Mitchell going to cover the 35? Is Owen going to pull the upset? What are you seeing here?
You know, it's high school OT has them in their top 15 for the first time this year, and I think for good reason. I think they're clicking. I like Mitchell to cover the 35. I think they get to a running clock against Owen. Owen still trying to figure things out offensively with the new system under Coach Faircloth. And like Pat said, you know, they're just trying to bite the elephant one bite at a time. And unfortunately for them, this week's a pretty big bite.
Pat, what do you think?
I do. I agree with you, Derek, except I think that Owen is going to they're not going to allow the covering of the 35.5 points. I think that obviously I think Mitchell's going to win this game, but I think it's going to be less than 35.5.
Carson?
I'm going to go with Mitchell here.
That's it? You're going with Mitchell?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mitchell. Owen's had some, at some point they're going to continue to get worn down. And I think that I think that they're doing the right things. I think that we've given a lot of credit to the players at Owen for not quitting and whatnot. I think the Mitchell tries to get some stats here. I think second half they just pull away and it could get ugly. But like I said, if I thought that Owen could get into the end zone, it'd be different. I don't know if Owen can get into the end zone.
Really, really struggling to score. I'm also going to take Mitchell only because I think Owen, they're not going to score. I think Mitchell wins this by more than 35.
Hard to cover when you don't score.
What about Lewis? What does Lewis say?
Lewis chose, this would be a surprise, he chose Owen.
Wow.
I'm shocked.
So Lewis and Pat taking Owen. Next up, we have a couple teams we don't talk about a whole lot. We got Polk, 1-3, traveling to Hendersonville, who's 3-2, 1-0 in the conference. Hendersonville, a 20.5-point favorite. So Hendersonville scoring 22 a game while giving up 21. Polk, they've lost to Tuscola. They're 1-3. They've lost to Tuscola, Blue Ridge, and Landrum, and beat Madison. They're scoring 21 a game while giving up 27. Last year, Polk won this game 34-30. Pat, who do you think wins it this year?
I think Polk was a better team last year than they are this year. I did see, obviously, a little bit of Hendersonville in that jamboree, and I think Hendersonville, I'm going to let them go ahead and take this win.
You're going to let them take the win? Oh, well, that's nice of you. So Pat has already determined Hendersonville will win this week.
Yes, that's right. I'm all-knowing, all-seeing.
Lewis also took Hendersonville. Carson?
I don't want to go chalk, but I do think, you know what, let's go Polk here. I'm going to go Polk.
Carson taking Polk.
I've got to make a game up somehow.
I'm also taking Polk. I believe Hendersonville wins this game, but I believe Polk covers the 20.5. Derek?
There is no sigh of indecision for me on this one. I got, give me Hendersonville big. I think there's just too many athletes on the Hendersonville squad for Polk to hang with them.
All right. Next up, we have Smoky Mountain. They're 2-3, 0-1 in the conference, taking on North Henderson, 2-2, also 0-1 in the conference. Smoky Mountain has lost their last three in a row to TC, Murphy, and Pisgah, three pretty good teams. They're scoring 19 a game while giving up 25. North Henderson scoring 25 while giving up 12 a game. Smoky Mountain the favorite. North Henderson getting 6 points here, Carson. Last year, Smoky Mountain wins the game 20-14.
I'm gonna go with Smoky. Tough schedule to start out with. I'm gonna go with Smoky. Hopefully they don't take the foot off the gas pedal and they're like, oh, we're not playing the Murphys or whoever. I think Smoky comes out on the road. You mentioned home field advantage not being extremely big. I think Smoky wins by more than a touchdown.
So I also think I waffled on this one a little while because North Henderson kept it close against West.
Probably an emotional game.
Do I think West is better than Smoky? I think so. I'm taking North Henderson. On my sheet, I have Smoky Mountain marked, but I'm taking North Henderson to win or to cover the 6. I'm taking North. Derek?
Yeah, I'm right there with you on the waffling on this one. This is a tough one to pick. But I think Coach Beattie gets those guys right. I think Smokey's coming off a bit of a letdown. Obviously, a lot of emotion last week with Coach Brindley coming back. I like North Henderson to win outright and cover the 6.
Lewis taking Smoky Mountain.
Lewis doesn't know what he's doing because it's going to be North.
Pat's taking North. All right. Nice split here. Next up, West Henderson at East Henderson. East 3-2, 0-1 in the conference. West Henderson, a 39-point favorite. Last year, West Henderson won this game 55-0. West Henderson scoring 32 a game while giving up 26, but they've lost two of their last three games. East scoring 17 while giving up 23. They've lost two out of their last three as well after starting 2-0. 3-2 for East. That's a good record for East to start the
year.
Very
good. Before North Buncombe, I think it was 16 or 18 straight games with a loss. So,
yeah.
They're doing good things over there.
Lewis taking West Henderson. I'm going to say West wins the game, but East covers this week. East covers the 39. Derek?
Fun fact, this is my nerd nugget of the week. Hendersonville beat East Henderson 46-6. How many is that? That's 40,
that's
right?
That's 40.
Okay. Then Franklin beats them 48-8, 40 points again. So both their losses by 40. Got West Henderson covering 39, winning by 40 over East Henderson on Friday night.
Wow.
All right, Derek taking West. Pat?
I don't think West's offense is as good as it was last year. Obviously, I think we all agree at that. I'm going to take East Henderson in the points. West will win the game, though.
West will win this game. Probably won't be very close, but I do not think it gets the 40 points. So I have East Henderson.
So Carson takes East to win the game. Okay.
You heard it here first.
That spread, that's a lot. What we've determined 40 points is a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot of points.
Look at this, the ACR North Buncombe game.
East Henderson's having one of their best seasons in a while.
There's just only so much time in the game. It comes down to the spread, comes down to these games with
a running clock.
Running clock
goes quick.
If East Henderson can move the ball a little bit, then it just limit. You only get so many possessions, and I just don't know if West has got the big. I mean, they obviously could break some runs, but I just don't know if they're going to have the Irwin. I mean, they can get it to any receiver and they're gone. I don't know if West has not shown that yet, at least.
Yeah.
Which this would be a great week to show it.
It would be.
Great week to show it.
We'll be watching the score closely. So next up, this could be a really fantastic game. We got Franklin 4-0, 1-0 in the conference, taking on Tuscola. Franklin a 17-point favorite. Tuscola's won 3 in a row after losing 42-6 to Asheville. For the year, they're giving up 24. They're scoring 24 and giving up 17. Franklin scoring 36 a game while giving up 9. Last year, Franklin wins this game 31-14. Lewis is taking Tuscola. Carson?
I'm taking Tuscola as well. I think Tuscola is in this game very late. I think it could be very. I think it's much closer than 17.
Pat?
Franklin's firing up that diesel. They're going to get this done.
He said firing up the diesel.
Yeah, John Riggins style.
Derek, what do you think?
This is a tough one.
This is a real tough one for me.
I'm a believer in Coach Crompton. I like Tuscola to cover at home. There may be a little dog drawn next to that big gold T, we'll leave that for
us. Is this Derek's time. Dog of the week?
It could be. Hypothetically, if one were to take a dog, one may take Tuscola to win outright, but
there's another game that's got there are another game.
There are a couple of other games.
This is the only game. Franklin covers this week. They're going to show you this week they're for real. They're probably going to win by 4 touchdowns and pull away and win the Mountain 7.
Ooh.
Ooh, you heard it here first.
Last week I said Pisgah to win the Mountain 7.
So make up your mind, would you?
I'm not a one-woman man. I like to mess up. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah. I think everybody heard that.
I think
that.
The producer heard and chimed in there.
Mm-hmm. So next up, we move to the MAC. It's going to be a close battle. As TC 3-1 heads over to North Buncombe to take on the Blackhawks. North Buncombe 2-3 on the year. North Buncombe is getting 49 points. 49. TC scoring 37 a game and giving up 20. They lost 14-0, and they have averaged 50 points a game since then. North Buncombe giving up 56 points in each of the last two games they've played. Pat, does North Buncombe cover the 49?
No, TC's going to cover this.
TC's going to going to win by
49.5.
So they will win. Okay. Lewis taking North Buncombe. Derek.
Yeah, I mean, Carson kind of touched on it earlier where there's only so many possessions, and both these teams want to run the ball and grind the clock anyway. I just don't think there's enough time for Robertson to get up by 49 and stay up. I like North Buncombe to cover, but if there was no running clock, TC would cover.
I'm with Derek. North Buncombe covers the 49.5. TC wins probably 42, 48, 49, nothing. But I think North Buncombe covers. I don't think TC's offense is as good as Reynolds.
Yeah, and this is something, a type of ball that North Buncombe practices every week. So it's not going to be as hard for them to get a scout team together. It's similar in nature as opposed to, a spread team like Reynolds.
All right, Carson.
Due to time, I am going to take North Buncombe, but I do think the score.
Due to time in the game.
Time in the game. Okay. I think the score could be 49-0. It's when that clock gets to running, it's going to be very difficult to get two possessions there. And North Buncombe just showed last week that they're going to try and push it to the very end.
Yes.
So even if Robertson gets some guys out, get some breaks, North Buncombe is going to play the full clock. So I think North Buncombe with a late cover that we will probably be sweating out.
Last year, I should have mentioned TC won this game 49-0.
Yep. That sounds right.
Whoever set that line did a great job.
Yep.
So two out of these next three games we're going to talk about should be very, very close matchups. We'll start in Arden as Asheville School comes over to Christ School. They've only been playing football for about 100 years. Christ School's won 12 in a row. They have not had a fantastic year. They're scoring 13 a game while giving up 40. They've lost four in a row, and they are a 15-point underdog. Christ School 1-4 on the year. Asheville School, they're 3-1. They're having a fantastic year. They've scored 42-plus points in their three wins. They gave up 42 in their last game, as we talked about earlier, to the Mountain View Prep Stars. So here we are. A rivalry game for sure. This game played on Saturday. Like I said, Christ School getting 15. Carson, Asheville School going to win by at least 16?
I think this game will come down to the wire. I think it will be very close. 15 for me is just too many for a team that's not beat you in 12 years. As Derek mentioned, this definitely is the best chance, in my opinion, that for them to get a victory. I would not rule out an Asheville School. I do think it is within the realm of possibility that Asheville School wins this game, that hurts to say. But I've just not seen what I needed to see to think that Christ School has the confidence to go out and dominate a football game. But there is, in my opinion, I just do not see Asheville School running away with this. I could be wrong, but Christ School at 15.5 is free, in my opinion.
Come on. Asheville School is number 4 in the high school overtime poll. They're the 4th best team in the 8-2-8.
So if Christ School wins, do Christ School get to go to 3?
I don't think so. But, I mean, everybody's going to tell you. Asheville School's good. They're 4 in this poll. They're 7 in the Citizen Times. Derek has them at 7 as well. So you don't think they can win by more than 15?
No, I definitely think they could win. I do not think they can win by more than 15. That's why I am taking Christ School here.
Okay. Pat?
So I think the only difference in this game is the fact that Asheville School has all of the fifth-year seniors that's gonna help them, and they're going to be able to, you know, I think they're going to actually be able to get it done and cover the 15. I think the offense will be too much. But I am pulling for the Greenies.
I don't know that I disagree. Derek?
Yeah. Close your ears, Mike. Bark, bark, baby.
Oh.
This is my dog of the week, Derek's dog of the week. I got Christ School winning outright. Give me a grudge match. Christ School 17, Asheville School 7. Greenies take it home for the 14th year in a row.
Hope it's be the 13th year in a row.
13th year in a row.
Hopefully they don't lose by 40 like your one dog, Hayesville. Yeah, that's the last time you played against Asheville School.
It is.
Derek's off the show. This is last week. I hope everybody enjoys it. I also think Christ School covers the 15.5. I think they win. We'll see. Derek and I watch a little film. Here's the thing about Asheville School and Christ School. Your 15 best players are on the field.
All day.
You do not have a plethora of subs on the side. You got some guys over there, but you really don't want to put them in the ball game. So one injury, one anything could really turn the tide on this game. We'll see.
It should be a great game.
Should be a good game. It's really on Saturday. Guys, come. We're having a tailgate. These guys are all coming except Pat, who's a loser. But we're going to start at 11. We're going to have breakfast.
Sounds delicious.
Biscuits and gravy, bacon, sausage, eggs, potatoes.
I'll be watching the St. Louis Blues in St. Louis.
Is it hockey season already?
In the preseason?
They play hockey like 12 months out of the year.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'll be seeing Billy Joel Sting on Friday night.
Mike?
Huh?
Who did Lewis take?
Lewis took Christ School. Pat, the only one taking Asheville School.
Wow.
So next up for me, this is the game of the week, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Irwin 4-1, 1-0 in the conference, taking on Asheville 2-1. This is a pick 'em. No spreads here. Irwin scoring 44 a game while giving up 22. In three of their four wins, Derek, they've scored 55 points. Asheville, They're scoring 26 a game while giving up 17. They're 2-0 at home. This one is at Asheville. In my mind, can Asheville score enough points to keep up with Irwin? Now you got to throw in the other factor. Is it going to be a gully washer? Is it going to rain? Don't know. Are they going to move the game? Maybe. We'll see. In my mind, Irwin's got too much offense, and I think Irwin wins this game. Pat?
Yeah, I think the decision on this one is going to come in the trenches, whether it's raining or not. I think Irwin's going to get a hat on somebody over there at Asheville, and they're going to assert themselves, and they're going to try and make the challenge for the throne this year in the MAC against Reynolds. And we'll see how that one plays out down the road. But I've got Irwin winning this one.
Lewis also taking Irwin. Carson?
I'm gonna go with Asheville here. Rain, you know, there's been a lot of praise, rightfully so, to Irwin's, you know, that's gone Irwin's way. I think Asheville quietly could have a very good football team. And I think this, you know, if they're going to be competitive in the MAC, it starts Friday night. So this will definitely be, it's at Asheville. No idea what's going to happen with the weather. It looks like it's going to rain Thursday. It's going to rain Friday. So I'm going to go with Asheville and the Cougars getting the win.
All right, Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, I got to agree with Carson here. I think, you know, I've got Irwin ranked ahead of Asheville in my poll. But like I said,
how are you going to have Irwin in front of Asheville, the big Asheville?
But the margin is razor thin. And I think Asheville being at home in a gully washer, I like Asheville to pull off the upset. Give me the Cougs.
One of the things that, you know, I think we talked about earlier is Irwin's ability to not only throw the ball like they did last week for 400, but, you know, running it with Milky Ray. You know, he may be injured, so, you know, we're seeing some other guys back there running it. So
I think the key is that Asheville, I don't know if, obviously you don't want to get behind early, but I don't know if Asheville is the team that, I think Asheville, for them to win the game, it's imperative. If we look back and we're talking next week, if Asheville wins the game, I don't think it's from a come from behind victory.
No,
and neither team scored more than 28 if Asheville wins.
And here's
I agree.
Here's what I like about Irwin is up front. I think they have the edge on the offensive line. I could be wrong. I would love to see this game. And like I've said before, I'll only sit in the rain and watch one kid play, and he does not play for Irwin or Asheville. So yeah. I would like to get out there and see that one. So, all right. That's going to be a game. I can't wait. I can't wait to I hopefully get to see it.
I'm glad we talked about the games that are going to be a game, because there's a game that will not be a game, and Pat will sit here next week. Man, what a good game
it was. What a good game it was.
Well, I think we'll just go ahead and I'll answer for everybody. Reynolds covers 41.5 against Inca. Is there anybody that disagrees?
I have no dissent.
is there anybody? Mike, what do you got?
So Reynolds playing Inca. Let's set it up. You can't just give we gotta set it up. Asheville's playing Inca. At Inca. At Inca. I mean, Inca's
Reynolds
at
is playing
Inca. It's Reynolds, not Asheville.
Reynolds playing at Inca. Okay. So they get the home field advantage. Last year Reynolds won this game 58-7. Reynolds scoring 31 a game while giving up 29. They were also 1-3 last year coming into conference. I have an interesting stat for you. I think I've shared with you guys before, but I'm gonna share with everybody else. Last year in conference, Reynolds outscored the conference 267-45. Pat, do you know what that averages out to?
A lot.
That's 45-7.5.
That's a lot.
In conference. So I was like, you know, how did Inca do? Last year, Inca scored 66 while giving up 275. So they scored 11 a game while giving up 46. The only win was against North Buncombe, 28-20. Like Carson said, Inca getting 41 here. Lewis is taking Reynolds. Carson's taking Reynolds. Pat's taking Reynolds. Derek?
This game is going to be uglier than a bowling shoe. I got Reynolds big by as much as they want. Definitely hitting a running clock, 50-some-odd to 7.
So do we, with the Simmons report, they ain't only getting 41 while North Buncombe got 49.5. Do we think Inca's a better football team than North Buncombe?
Yes.
Yes.
But not that much better.
I would also argue that Reynolds has settled down a little bit coming in out of that beginning of that North Buncombe game, and it's
Reynolds is going to be on.
Yeah, and we talked about earlier, the margin of error between the top is razor thin, and the margin of error between the bottom is razor thin as well.
McDowell, North Buncombe, Inca.
Yeah, it's pick them out of a hat. Do whatever you want.
That's how Carson does his picks.
Mike, right. Mike, take Inca. It worked out for me well last week.
I think I'm going to pass on that. Reynolds. Reynolds is in mode of let's see how many points we can score and how good we can look right now.
I love it.
So we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
You got to think that they're, you know, you already brought it up earlier, Derek, concerned about those big losses in the off season or in the non-conference. I can't speak for them, but you're a coach. I'm sure that if you were on the field, you'd be thinking, "Oh heck no, we're gonna put the pedal down.
Yeah, we're gonna announce our presence with some authority here, boys." But yeah.
Now next week, Reynolds has a good game. They have, I believe it's Asheville next week.
It is. Yeah.
So
be a good one.
Now that will be the game of the week next week.
Yes.
So looking forward to that one. All right. Well, that's this week's games. What else you guys got?
We're going to talk fantasy football. We keep forgetting to talk about our fantasy league.
Good
our
news.
Fans want to know.
I'm picking up win one this week. Win one.
And I'm moving to 0-3.
Yes. So, I'm not in last.
So,
Pat, how are you doing?
I'm 2-1, it looks like, as I put the hammer down on Lewis Anderson this week.
So,
poor Lewis. Me and Lewis just catching the brunt of it.
I think Lewis is doing all right.
Yeah, I'm just
saying we're always the ones that's like, you know, we get poked at the most.
My only loss is to Travis. And those of you who don't know Travis, he's a friend of the show and the president of the H.C. Reynolds Boosters Club. And a very important fact that we need to talk about with Travis is my most mature friend by far.
That's what Mary says for sure. But I don't know that she was including Derek in that.
Well, Derek is new to the equation.
What has Mary said about Carson?
He could compete. Oh, you're not even in the conversation for most mature friend. No.
Well, that is crazy. Listen, I've always been on my best behavior around Mary.
After the old guy bachelor party, I think we were all at the bottom of the barrel.
What a time. We made it back in one piece.
We did.
Barely.
Thanks to the general.
Thanks to Chris St. Ange.
So anyway, but Travis is our sixth member of our fantasy league. Who's Travis playing? You got Travis.
Yes,
this week,
I'm beating Travis by about 40 right now.
Four teams are going to make the playoffs out of the six, and I'm unfortunately not going to be one of the four.
Wait, we're not all making the playoffs?
Why aren't we all making it? No?
I'd look at you. You're the commissioner, Pat.
I have any idea what I'm doing. You all made me the commissioner because you didn't want to do it. I've never run a fantasy football league. God. I don't have the slightest idea.
Pat wants to give everybody a trophy.
Yeah, that's right. I want all of us to win.
Not a surprise.
Derek, what's your record?
Yeah, I'm hopefully moving to 3-0. I'm about 7 points up on Carson with Jamar Chase to play tonight. So,
well,
hopefully.
I wish the listeners could just see his.
Who do you have this week? Who do you have left to play?
I have Travis Etienne. I need four tutties tonight.
That's all you need?
I need a big, big night, which I do think Jacksonville beats the Bills tonight.
Yeah,
I could be way wrong.
No, I'm with you.
I think that they're 0-2 desperate times, 0-2 teams versus 2-0 teams. I don't know. I think Jacksonville could do it.
I think you're correct.
Hail to the Redskins. Hail victory.
God.
Braves.
Who's ready for my fun? Anybody ready for my fun question?
Fight for old DC.
I think it'd be better than Pat singing.
Yeah, it would be.
I sing well.
I want
thank
you guys
you.
To pull your phones out.
All right.
Go to a text message.
Oh, no. Is this inappropriate? Yeah. Is that why we're doing it?
No, I don't know why your mind automatically goes to inappropriate.
It's because you're not my most mature friend.
Everybody go through, what is your most used emoji?
How do you find that out?
Yeah, how do
on,
I learn
click
that?
On a text.
Click on a
the
text.
Little smiley face in the bottom left-hand corner.
This is great, great podcasting for our listeners.
Pull up a text and do what?
Pull up a text.
Click, right.
Okay, yep.
Click that little smiley face in the bottom left.
So mine is the sideways, like the 45-degree angle smiley face crying.
Okay. Pat Poles is a thumbs up, which is the most.
I was about
most,
to guess.
Is the most Pat Pole
is a
thing.
Thumbs up.
Okay.
Yes. Pat likes to put his thumb in things.
Okay, so Mike's is the laughing face, but it's kind of facing sideways.
Yeah, his is the...
Derek is the normal laughing face.
He's a straight-up laughing face.
And Carson is also a straight-up laughing face.
There you go.
So I guess this is because we text each other and we're all very, very funny. So we all, and then Pat, we send funny jokes. Us three laugh, and Pat gives us the thumbs up.
Yeah. So. Yep. And let's all take a guess at what Lewis's is. And I'm going to guess that it's the rocket emoji.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the rocket 100% emoji.
What is it he calls Asheville School?
The smart missile.
The smart missile.
Yeah.
One of you guys does the middle finger one a lot. I don't know. Is that a mic?
Occasionally, yeah.
That's a micism.
If I need to, I'll shoot one off.
But
do y'all know the history of the middle finger?
Tell us.
Do you want to know what the real history of it is? It's actually a pretty fascinating story.
I'm all ears.
Give it to us.
So back in the medieval days, castles, knights, that whole thing, right? Archers would be up in the castles and their walls, shooting their arrows down at the opposing army. Well, if you could catch an archer, like, away from the castle, and you were, you know, the enemy, and you catch, what would you do to that archer if you caught them?
You'd cut his middle finger off.
You'd cut all three drawstring fingers off. All three, okay. And then they would be gone. They would never be able to do archery again, right?
Interesting.
So the archers, when they're up there and they defeat the army, they would always win, and then they would sit there and they would hold their three fingers up going, ha, 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 we beat you, and that evolved into the middle finger.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like it. I did not know that.
That's Pat's nerd nugget of the week right there.
You want to know where the wave comes from, why we wave at people?
Yes, definitely.
Also the Middle Ages, knights, as they passed each other on the path. This is also why British people drive on the left, but most people are right-handed. So horses would approach each other opposite, and the way a knight could say that, hey, I'm not a threat to you, is by holding up his right hand away from his sword like this, and they would pass each other on the left like that. That's
interesting.
That's the history of that.
All right.
Learn something new every day.
Wow.
So now that we've got our, we have our history
have
podcast
our history.
Starting next
oh,
week.
Oh, I can keep going. I've got lots.
I'll tell you what. Man. We miss Lewis. Hopefully he'll be back soon.
No, we don't really miss Lewis. Do? No.
But we love you guys, and appreciate everything.
So next week, we'll be back. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Till then, tune in, enjoy. Let's have fun.